the Word of God. Appreciate the testifying, sister. What a blessing. I appreciate the Spirit of God that was witnessed on that. I thank God for that. I'm glad one day He come to where I was.
Right.
He come to me and saved my soul, put me in this good way, had something for me, and apprehended me for a purpose. And I thank God for that. That He Himself is the one that's continually to using me and guide me, and I thank God for that.
Amen.
I know that this will probably be one of the. I don't know how long I'll be before I can get back your way, and so I've pondered on that. I've asked the Lord to not just to give me a message, but that if He would use me as a surgical instrument.
Right.
To help His body.
Amen.
I have a desire to see the body of Christ edified.
Amen.
Grow and to be perfected in love.
Amen.
And I've asked the Lord to help us this morning. And there are just some things that's just sticking on my heart, heavy on my heart. I don't know you I feel like I'm a part of you as far as family. And but I don't know what's in your heart. The pastor, your preacher, he's not come to me and told me anything about the church. As far as I know, things are smooth sailing. I have no idea. But I do know what God's put on my heart this morning.
Yeah, bless you.
And I pray you'd be an open recipient in what God has to say for you today. I'm going to read us a few verses of Scripture, and then we'll just do our best to follow the Lord in this message this morning. I want to look, first of all, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to read several verses of Scripture here, and then in the book of Galatians, and then over in 1 John, and then we'll take our message this morning from the Psalms. So to lay the foundation to get our mind and our heart set on what God would have us to say, let's read from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul here writing to the church in Corinth. What an amazing church.
Sure.
Full of problems.
Yep.
But full of saved folks.
Amen.
I'm amazed that Paul realized and he knew that although the church was full of problems,
come on, preacher,
that God was not going to give up.
Amen.
On His church.
Amen,
and I appreciate that. I appreciate the fact that God is our patient and kind teacher, and God don't just do things haphazardly.
Come on.
He's got something out there in the future. It's the forbearance of God, the foreknowledge out there in the forefront. He's getting us to a certain direction.
Sure.
I believe that specifically personally with each individual. I believe that specifically with the local body of Christ. And I believe that's generally with the universal body of Christ.
Come on.
There's a place that we're going to, and He's the one going to get us there.
Amen.
So this church in Corinth, that God had a plan for them and a place for them, and He was getting them there. Here's some of the things we find as we look here in chapter 6. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust, and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. I'm amazed here, you all can be saved this morning. I'm amazed here as Paul begins to open up this portion of this epistle, these Corinthian believers. He begins to speak sternly, to the point, but yet his words are humbled and that they're overladen in love. Paul loves these people.
Right.
He don't want to hurt them. He wants to help them. And he says to these people, he's saying that what's going on in this particular church here in Corinth is that there are brethren that are at odds against each other in the same church.
Come on, preacher.
That they're fighting once another. And he says that they even take it as far as to use an unjust judge or somebody that's not been born again to settle an argument, whether it be in the church or them personally outside the church.
Come on now.
But using two brothers, two born again, two sons of God, and using a child of the devil, unsaved, to judge the matter.
Yeah.
Paul was saying here, he said, if you're going that route, you're going the wrong way. He's saying very plainly, he questions, there's a stream of questions here. And he says, is there not a wise man in the house? He said, is there not somebody that loves God, got a heart for God, knows the Word of God, and looks at himself and the labor of God's holiness before he enters the tabernacle? Is there not somebody that's able to rightly divide the Word of God, that can take one brother that's disgruntled against another brother? Is there not somebody in the house that's able to look at the two, to mediate between the two, that these two can be reunited in fellowship and communion again without trying to be like they was before? And he goes on and lists that. Then he speaks about how they used to be, adulterers and liars and thieves. And he said, but you're not this way anymore.
Right.
Those old ways have changed.
Right.
Now you're a different fella. Now you're a different character. Now you're of the bonds of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And so he begins to explain this. He has dealt with this issue more places than just Corinth. All throughout Galatia, there also seemed to be a difficulty in just the believers coming together. And them coming together under the common bond and the common union of Jesus Christ. I want you to understand, in Corinth, you're just a little way south of Athens, the capital city, the industrial main hub of Greece in that day. And so in Corinth, you've got people of higher stature, you've got people of lower stature. But the common denominator, what held them, the glue that held it all together, was Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It didn't matter whether he was a rich man that had a palace on the hillside, or he was saved from a drunk in the street corner. That the common bond was, our sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And so here in Galatians, Paul, in chapter 6, he goes on and tells them what to do. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault,
that's right,
ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. And then he says, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. I'm amazed how that God puts it all together. We know through preaching, through teaching, that if I've got a fault against somebody in the house of God, I'm to go unto them.
And if
there's a misunderstanding, or if there's something that's been said that I may have received in a wrong way, maybe I didn't comprehend it right, and I've been offended at another brethren, it is my obligation, my duty, to go unto that individual and say, "Hey, what's wrong, brother?" And just open yourself up. And be willing to take the first step. And that's an amazing portrait of God and in Christ Jesus in 1 John chapter 4 and in verse number 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. For he loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son to the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His own Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And so, in chapter 3, in verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And so we see here a amazing portrayal of the love of God, and how that we're able to go to somebody that's gossip, that's backbit, that's backstabbed us, that said wrong things to us, and we're able to go unto them, and we're able to, in the demonstration of the love of God, speak to them in the love of God and restore, reconcile that relationship, that communion, that unity in the body of Christ. Now, I'm amazed here. And I'm thankful that He says here that His Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Right.
Notice the word sins there is plural. And so now it's speaking of those things that the saints of God from time to time find themselves dabbling in, find themselves slipping in, find themselves being held in, maybe by the snares of the devil, the fowler. And so I want us to understand this morning that if there's anything Satan would like to have, desired to have done to this body of believers in this year, is to cause some sort of division. He would like so much to get one brother at all against another brother. He would like to get one to start backbiting and gossip and all this filth and sin. But I'm grateful that Jesus Christ was the propitiation for our sins. Well, what does that mean? That means that God, that when Christ was on the cross, His blood was shed for the propitiation for our sins. That word propitiation means that God, His wrath was appeased. Let's back up. In the Old Testament, when the lamb sacrificed, when those bullocks' blood was shed, God's wrath was appeased. But when Christ's blood was shed, God's wrath was satisfied. And He did not require anything else. No more sweeping it under the rug. It was over with. It was done. In other words, that Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, put Himself on the cross so that He Himself would be an offering, a blood atonement for our sins.
That's right.
And so, in other words, He became sin for us.
Amen.
Jesus became sin. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ became the vilest offenders, that He would satisfy the wrath of God and the justice of God. I'm amazed that we understand now this morning, we don't have to backbite. We don't have to gossip. We don't have to stab one another. We don't have to devour one another. Why? Because Christ has already satisfied the wrath of God for those sins. Jesus himself became a backbiter. He became sin for us. He became a gossiper. That God would pour out his wrath on his son, that we can be set free from all that this morning. I want to go ahead and declare from the pulpit this morning that if you're in backbiting, if you're in a state of gossip, if you're in a state of stabbing somebody and devouring another brethren, you're in wrong this morning. You're in error this morning. Get right with God and come before Him clean. Repent of your sin. There is an advocate, thank God. There is one that will hear us and will forgive us of our sin, thank God.
Amen.
David said, lead us not to presumptuous. He said, keep me from presumptuous sin. Now what does that word presumptuous mean? It's sin that happens over and over and over again. And when God has already revealed light and said, you're wrong in that. That sin, don't do that. And then that same person says, well, it won't hurt. And then they go, maybe even use God's mercy as a scapegoat to commit their little nasty sin, to get on the phone and talk to somebody, backstab, devour the brethren. I will go ahead and tell you it's wrong and it's evil and vile in the sight of God. David said to keep me from presumptuous sin. Well, no, there's danger in presumptuous sin. Not only do you commit the sin and offend God, but here's why it's dangerous. You sin against the light that God has shown you that it is sin. And so it's danger to keep going back and indulging in sin. Now once we learn some great truths in the Bible that God is merciful and God has mercy, and I'll say God is merciful.
Yeah.
And He is a God of mercy.
Yeah.
And He's full of mercy and compassion, thank God. And I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful that when we call on God and ask for mercy as His children, He gives us mercy, thank God. Now, I'll go ahead and say there's more mercy in Jesus than there is sin in you, thank God. But I will go ahead and say this, that mercy will pardon sin and will forgive sin. But it may or may not stop the justice of God.
Yeah.
Let me explain it like this. When I was a little boy, I was just a young fellow, probably 10 or 11. And Daddy had a wood shop in the backyard. And it just rained. Me and my brother was out back there. And we was playing in the mud. Making mud balls. And then we commenced to throw them around. Daddy's wood shop had a white door. And it just drew me to it. I began to just rear back and just pelt that thing with mud balls. I got my brother involved in it. We was just having a time. Well, we went up there and just kind of just kicked the mud off, but you still had the marks of the mud on the door.
Yeah.
And I remember Daddy saying, who threw the mud on the shop door? And we come in and said, oh, Daddy, well, you know, we didn't lie. We come right up and said, Daddy, you know, it was us. We done it. We're sorry. Please. I knew he was angry when he called us in that tone. He was upset. And we said, we're sorry. And I'll be honest with you. Man, he put his arms around us. And he forgave us for throwing the mud on the shop door. From that day forward, never heard him mention it again. But I will say he issued us mercy and he forgave us for the wrong. That didn't stop him from pulling that belt off and giving us a whipping for doing wrong. That didn't stop him from saying, okay, when you finish crying, go out there with a rag and a bucket of warm water and wash it off. I want to go ahead and say I'm grateful for the mercy of God that pardons me of sin, thank God. But I want to go ahead and warn you this morning from the grace of God and the love of God. Don't stay in sin. Don't live in sin. Don't use the mercy of God as oftentimes when there's new levels of truth
There's new devils to contend with. Yeah. And so oftentimes when we say, well, when we come to a state, we know God's merciful. Now then Satan, he comes at a different way, at different times, and he says, well, just go ahead and do it. God will forgive you. God will give you mercy. And so you go ahead and do it anyway. Sin against the God. Offend God in the sin. Sin against the light. God said it's sin. And then all of a sudden you're in a big mess. And the whole time the devil's laughing. He's got us in such a way. How we can get ourselves in this place where we tend to use God's mercy to our advantage point to do what we want to do. And I want to say there's dangerous ground, friend. There's a God in heaven that hates sin. There's a God in heaven that wants His children to walk right, to do right, and to love Him. And I'm grateful that at time to time He puts us in line and sends correction. I'm grateful for the love of God. When Daddy whipped me that day for beating all those mud balls in the shop door, it was one of the greatest displays of His love He had for me. Not just to let me run wild, not just to let me run and do what I wanted to, but to issue correction and say, I love you and I can't let you go do this all day long. And so I want to say to you this morning, there's a love of God. He don't want you backbiting. He don't want you full of mouthful of gossip on the telephone. He wants you filled of love, not trying to devour one another, but to comfort one another, edify one another in the spirit of love. Oftentimes we've traveled a bunch this year. I'm amazed how that the church folk just devour one another.
Yeah.
How sharp that tongue is. How cruel the tongue is. Things are often said. It's too late. Once it comes out of the mouth, it can't. And it's not coming back. What does James say? What does he say? He says, doeth a fountain send forth out of the same place sweet water and bitter? Is that the mouth of the child of God, the saint of God, to come and sing His praise and say, oh God, You're wonderful, and then to go out and begin to talk to somebody's dad, man? Is that what God wants? Is that what He saved you for?
Lord God. Minister to us, Lord.
I want you to know that Christ has already appeased the wrath of God. He's already propitiated that for us. We don't have to be involved with that anymore. Because Christ's already done it, thank God. We can walk free of that lifestyle, of that trap of Satan, and live in victory.
Good preaching.
Paul said in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, he uses the word unity twice. He speaks about it being something that we have to contend for, to work at, to labor for, to maintain the unity of the Spirit. And to be able to be in love with one another, to be able to maintain that spirit of unity. I'm going to look here in the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 1, 133. The first time you find the word unity mentioned in the Word of God. It's in one of these 15 Psalms here between Psalm 120 and Psalm 134 are the Ascension Psalms, or the Psalms that go up. There are many different things said about these Psalms. They're sung at a lower key at the first verse, and the voice is getting higher and higher as they're sung by the end of the psalm. Somebody said that they were sung as the children of Israel made their pilgrimage to the temple of God. They was going up. So these psalms, they have the contents of its pulling out, that we're lifting up, that we're coming out, and we're growing up. You know, the thoughts are rising, and we're coming out from where we used, that we're journeying to higher ground, thank God. So I'm grateful for that. Let's look here. He says this: behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I want you to notice that now.
If you have your pencil, you unline things in the Bible, I want you to unline the exclamation point there after the word unity. There's not many exclamation points in the Bible. Not many at all. But God inspired, put one here in the contents that the brethren should dwell together in unity. Now, I want you to understand this. He says, behold, let's pause right there. This word behold means a discovery. This word behold means, wow, I have found something that's worth, it's precious to me. He says, how good and how pleasant, man, how good. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And when he saw there was light, God said, it was good. First time it's ever mentioned. When God speaks of the context of light, he says it's good. And when God creates light, there was darkness over the face of the waters, and God said, let there be, and it was so. And so in that same context, when God began to start His marvelous work in creation, when God began to let light shine forth in power and glory and in demonstration of His love and grace toward us in creating light, He said, it was good. And so I want you to notice here now that same word, how good. And so God, on God's perspective, He holds the creation of light as He begins the work of creation on the same plane as God says. He looks and sees His body working together and dwelling together in unity. What an amazing, He also said, how pleasant it is. So how good and how pleasant. Now in Genesis chapter 2 verse 9, God begins to bring forth trees. God planted a garden. Oh, this is heaven meet. God planted a garden. And this garden was called Eden. It was a garden that was perfect. It was a garden that had trees of every fruit. And God said it was pleasant. Those trees were pleasant. And so I'm amazed here now that God relates the church, His body, just like it was that when He began to start something and when He planted a garden, thank God. When God has some folks planted, when God started something, thank God, He wants them to continue in unity, thank God. So here we see this unity. And what does this word mean? Well, I'm grateful the greatest commentary on the Word of God is the Word of God. Chapter the same chapter in verse 2, it says this. It, what now, being unity, it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. Let's pause there. Unity is like that precious ointment that was used to anoint the high priest Aaron. That ointment that ran down his head, that even ran down upon his beard, upon Aaron's beard. So we take our Bibles and we look over the book of Exodus, chapter number 30. Chapter 30. And we begin to read in verse 22. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, and after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of olive oil, in him. And he said, and thou shalt make a oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be a holy anointing oil. And then he goes on and says, here in verse 30, and thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. Whoo! What a blessing that is today. So I want you to know now, while we're talking about the brethren dwelling in unity. We're talking about understanding the common bond is Jesus Christ. And so I want you to understand here now that he relates this to this holy anointing oil. He said it's this bonding of unity is just like the holy anointing oil that was used to anoint Aaron. And he said it ran down his head and even on his beard, even Aaron's beard. I want you to notice this holy anointing oil. It's made up of several different ingredients. And so it's not just one thing. Several things come together to make up this one holy anointing oil. And so the Bible says they were to take principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels of myrrh. This myrrh was no doubt gathered. And it's got a lot of Bible context to it about how it was used to anoint the death of bodies and this, that, and the other. I remember listening one time as a man said, that you can even find it here at the local pharmacy. You can go and pick up what they call a tincture of myrrh. And these bodybuilders, these men that lift weights and their muscles are they're so big and bust and strong, they're ripped, and when their muscles are aching, when they're sore and they need something to take the hurt away, they go to the pharmacy and ask for a tincture of myrrh. And they'll take that myrrh and they'll open it up and they'll put a few drops on where the spot that hurts. And it takes the pain away. I want to say there's some folks in here that God has saved for His glory. And He wants to use you in unity. Not just by yourself. But He wants certain properties in you to be put with other folks in the house of God. That He wants your mouth to be used as an instrument to bring healing. As an instrument to bring encouragement. To take the hurt away. Not to offer hurt. Not to run somebody down. Not to to devour one another. But to offer up some sweet word that can take the pain away that somebody else is experiencing. I want you to notice this. He says, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels. So we've got 500 shekels of myrrh and 250 shekels of sweet cinnamon. I don't know about you, but I just got to thinking this morning sitting on the bench. I mean, you wonder if the cinnamon ever spoke up and said, well, you've got more than me. Lady Bird, you've got more than I do.
Yeah.
And they they're dwelling together. They got a purpose. And they're working together on this thing. And so this sweet cinnamon, you know what they tell me? They say you can buy this certain cinnamon, and on the side of the bottle it says caution, flammable. And so I'm going to let you know that so some of these spices used here to make up this ointment are such unique, such special characteristics that God Himself hand-selected each one for this specific purpose. There's some folks in the house of God, I thank God they love to worship God. They want to worship God. Why? Because God, by His grace, put it in them to worship God. They want to lift their voice. They want to raise their hand. Hey, that's not for you to be over there going, I wish he'd sit down. I wish he'd be quiet. No, friend, you're in this thing together. God's got you working together, thank God. That sweet sinner wants to bubble up and worship God and praise God for His glory, thank the Lord. So just let God be God. Hallelujah. Amen. What else does the Word of God say? He says there's 250 shekels, and then he goes on and says this, of sweet calamus. 250 shekels. Sweet calamus was found when the bark was peeled back. Now I want you to understand, there's some folks that are in the house of God, that God has to just peel them back. God has to just allow things to happen to them.
But I'm grateful that He does, thank God. Because when those things happen to them, that they come, that they don't quit on God. Hey, when those trouble times, God, they don't say, hey, I'm not coming. No, they're faithful. They're in the house of God. And God's peeled them back. And they'll stand, they'll testify in power and say, we love you, God. I don't know what He's doing, but I thank Him. I don't know why I'm sick, but I'm grateful. I love God and I love Jesus. And those are the ones, thank God, that when God peels them back, their sweet testimony is heard by His good grace, thank God. Woo! Hey, I'm glad I've been in a service or two with some folks. I've been some sweet counselors, thank God. They've been peeled back by God for seemingly months and months, but they won't sit down, they won't set out. They're in there faithful, they raise their hand, and thank God, I'm grateful for the house of God, for some folks on the inside that love God and praise God in the difficult times.
Yeah,
what else does He say? He says, and of cassia 500 shekels. Now He bumps back up to 500 here. Sweet cassia. Cassia doesn't produce a sweet smell similar to frankincense only after it's crushed in the powder form. And I'm grateful when God's still working on us. Although I may not be in my sweet form all the time, I know that God, that He knows there's something on the inside of me.
Amen,
and He knows how to get it out. Oh, when He does, I praise Him for it. I'm not going to, I don't want to be one, Brother Dax, to run somebody down. I don't know what God's doing to them. Who am I to judge? Who am I to say, well, stomp on them and kick on them when God's working on them.
Yeah.
God be the one helping them. God be the one transforming them.
Yeah, bless
Lord. So what else did He say here? He said it was to be added together in olive oil, which is again a symbol of suffering and difficult times. Oil comes out when the olive's crushed. He says that it's all after. He said, and thou shalt make an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary.
Yeah, bless you, Lord.
So all these things by themselves can only do a little. But when they're all together,
come on, preacher.
That's the compound.
Yeah.
I want you to. Now, they can't just do it after anybody they want to. They do it after the art of the apothecary.
Yeah, bless you, Lord.
In other words, He's the only one that knows how to mix it all together. He's the only one that knows how to put the right measurements in to make it just right. The apothecary was a man that knew things about plants. He was kind of like considered a midwife from time to time.
Yeah.
The apothecary, you know what? You know, throughout the camp of Israel, the apothecary never missed a birth. He was always there, making sure that when there was a newborn coming, he was there to make sure it come in just plain as day. It don't take us a whole lot longer to figure out and realize who the apothecary is a type of, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's never missed a birth. He's been there for us through thick and thin.
Amen.
And He's the only one that can take the pauper and the rich man and put them together in the same house.
Right.
And they can dwell in unity. They can be useful for God in the same body. I want to say, what an amazing work of God. What an amazing work to think that God can put me somewhere in a local body and that He puts other folks in there not to be at odds against one another, but to say, hey, we're in this thing together. And it don't matter if you've got 500 and I've got 250 shekels. It don't matter. All matters is we're in the hand of the apothecary. And He mixes what He wants to. And He knows what to do. He knows how to allow it to run down Aaron's beard. He knows how to make the cup overflow, thank God. I'm grateful for the good grace of God. That we don't have to go through this life, this step of the time where we are, this season of our life, backbiting, full of gossip and anger and hatred. We can go forth in love and in unity with our mindset forward on what God's going to use us for, thank God.
Yeah.
That ointment went on Aaron's beard, and Aaron and his sons, he was consecrated for what? To minister unto me.
Yeah.
And what it said? What it said right there? He said, Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. I want you to look up here real quick.
God bless you, Lord.
A question for you. Oftentimes in ministry, we minister to everybody else. Minister to the people. Minister to our family. Minister to our friends. And the whole time God's saying, all I want you to do is minister to me. All I want you to do is minister to me, son. Say, Lord, I'll just minister to you, Lord. I'll just worship you, Lord. I just want to minister to God. And then God as a channel, use my life as a channel to affect somebody in this world. We can't live with it, and it can't be done when there's strivings and bickerings and swellings and tumults in the house of God.
Amen.
Yeah. I caught a wind last night. I was talking to the preacher. He won't mind me telling. He was talking last night about these boxes. These opportunity boxes. You know, might be in the... Man, what a blessing. What a blessing to think it might be in your prayer place. Well, God, there's a box up here at the church.
Right.
I wonder who I can give it to this week.
Man.
God might flat on your heart, maybe some old hardened up center that no one likes. It's probably just a rough little corn cob. And you never know what a little box might do. And we're all working together in a unity. Church is unstoppable. When we're all working together, when we're in one emotion, one body, we're all performing what God's called us to do, what God's placed us to do. Dear friend, it's an amazing thing to behold. And Paul knew it when he talked to that church in Corinth. What an amazing thing. The brethren dwell in unity. He goes on now. I think this is amazing. The first part in verse 1, he's saying that the unity in verse 2 is likened to the oil. Now in verse 3, he's comparing what the oil's like. He said, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. I want you to catch this. This is going to help you. I want you to understand this now. When the brethren don't dwell together in unity, it affects future generations. It affects your effectiveness. See, this scripture is saying the unity is like the oil, how it's put together. And then in verse 3, he's describing how it ran down, or the means of the oil. They ran down the beard. It's running down. He says, as the dew of Mount Hermon, as it runs down.
Yeah.
And so did you know that Mount Hermon is the tallest mountain in Israel? Tallest peak in Israel. I've been to the summit. It's beautiful. You see all kinds of countries up there. Pretty. Up on top. Snow up on top. Dew collects up there. You know what it does when it clips up somewhere high? It runs down. Did you know that the Jordan River, it's got trace roots to the dew of Mount Hermon? You realize some of those great bodies of water throughout Israel, so precious in desert times, comes from Mount Hermon? What seems like a little bit of dew at this point, when it collects and all comes together, do you realize that the Jordan River produces enough water to feed Israel and to quench the thirst of Jordan, their neighboring country? Millions of people benefit from the dews of Mount Hermon. So I'm trying to say, I want you to understand this morning, if you can just realize by dwelling in unity, don't let things get built up where you walk past and don't shake hands and where they're free. Just go ahead and love on one another and hug on one another. Let the unity of God produce Himself in you. And thank God it will affect somebody else, thank God.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. Bless you,
Lord. Yeah. Throwing it out, y'all picking it up.
Yeah.
It will affect somebody else.
bless you, Lord.
I never really put all that together until just now. But I know that water eventually goes through the Sea of Galilee.
Yeah.
It goes on down another little stretch and empties out in what they call the Dead Sea. And you say, well, just that's where it ends. No, that's where it begins. That water just sets there. But then the sun begins to pull it up, evaporate it up. Pull it on up, pull it on up, pull it on up. It's constantly been in a big cycle. Pulls it back up into the clouds. Clouds go over, dump some rain back out.
Yeah.
Comes back down again. So it's just a complete cycle.
Yeah.
You imagine what will happen if, I might be going on a limb here, but I want to just trust the Lord. Maybe something built up from years and years ago. It's an old grudge. You ain't never let it go. You know what? You know what that's like? You know what an old grudge built up's like?
Down there,
just below, Mama's area, there's an old beaver pond. That's what we call it. Little creek. Them beavers been in there, and they get the bringing twigs and shoving twigs in the creek, man. Picking up mud, slapping their tail, making a little dam. All of a sudden, that'll just be, I mean, there's a pond out there.
Yeah.
I mean, that thing just goes and goes and goes and goes. And Mama's neighbor had gone through with his tractor, and he had begun just to dig that dam out. Dug it out. I want to tell y'all, it's amazing. That water come gushing through there. It was an amazing feat to behold. It's like an old grudge. Going up in your heart against somebody, towards somebody. Just be the better man. Be the better woman.
Amen.
Go to them. And say, be willing to, as Paul said, be willing to be the fraud. Be willing to be the one that
the fraud.
Jesus made himself of no reputation.
That's right.
Amen.
Buzzed it away.
Me too.
Jesus knew all the good he'd done, never one time said anything about it.
Bless you, Lord.
Can you imagine just that dam being busted in your heart? And you need to come back together. And you just loving on somebody, hugging on somebody. The Lord's been working this up in my heart. There was some trouble in a church years ago. I mean, it's been several years now. There's been a lady that I've seen here recently. And I've done all the thing I had to do to. That's yours, Andy.
I'm not looking at you to go fast.
Stick it on anyway. Well, this lady. It's all right. It matches, don't it?
Help me, Lord.
This lady. Oh, she's sweet. I mean, she's a saint of God. I can remember her singing. And I can remember the power of God dripping off this lady. I want you to hear me now.
Right.
I remember the power of God dripping off this lady. Singing an old song. I woke up with heaven on my mind this morning to Jesus who heals the sick and blind.
Yeah,
she'd sing that, and I mean the power of God fall in that place. Some things happened in the church. Things were said. Some things were perceived in the wrong way. And there I was in the middle of it. I made things right with the folks I needed to make things right with, or set things clear so they understood my stand on it. And that I wasn't, you know, belligerent. I wasn't rude. I'd done something that didn't do it the Bible way. And anyway, I'd gone and made things right with those men and made things right before God. I've seen that lady in the last 2 months. I've seen her at least four times. She showed up in places I've never seen her before. I mean, she just showed up. Wow, there's that lady again. And I'll be honest with you, I've gone up to her. I stuck my hand up to her and I said, hey, let's appreciate the singing. And she just grabbed my hand. She might even nod. I was even there. And I got to thinking, I said, well, Lord, you know, I don't want this dear saint that's sung in such power, that's sung in such great might of God, I don't want to be overtaken in bitterness. But something, Lord, that I've done and I've not done, if I would have, if I could go to her in some way to help restore that state where she was, well, Lord, that's what I want to do. And I'll be honest with you, even this morning while I've been preaching, I've been thinking about that lady.
Right.
And something tells me that on the inside, before I head back to Brazil, I don't want to call her up and fly her again.
Yeah.
And just say, hey, I want to help you.
Right.
If something's been wrong or die, I want the body to be in unity.
Sure.
Man. I don't know where you are this morning. I preach what God has asked me to.
Amen.
Yeah, bless you, Lord.
What a blessing thing it is to think that the body, when she is in unity. Man.
Sure, that's right.
Power, might, ability, the ability to affect generations with just the body being in unity. As the dew of Mount Hermon and as the dew that descends upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commandeth His blessing, even life forevermore. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your kindness to us today. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we ask you to speak to our hearts now. Help us to be obedient to you.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand this morning. God spoke to you in any way, and you need to talk to God. I pray you find yourself a little place here and just talk to Him. It's all right.
Yes, Lord. God's speaking to you this morning. Come. Yeah, Lord, help our church, help us.
Just tell Him all about it.
Yeah.
Just get it all out. Make things right with God this morning. Hey, and if somebody is here, who wants to make things right with them this morning?
Yeah, mine, O Lord, son, it's mine, O Lord.
Reason you're thinking of that thing right now because the Lord brought it to your mind.
Sure.
Won't you get it right this morning? Unity. I don't want to be the one.
Thank you, Lord. Help us.
I wouldn't want to be the one on Judgment Day.
Help us, Lord.
Be the one that was just stubborn to held the dam in. All but one to let loose and say, oh God, I'll have His way.
God's speaking to you, come. Yeah, thank you, Lord.